What was your view, Les? I mean, when they told you you were going to be playing in a 65-over one-day game, how did the players react?
Well, we had Ted Dexter sitting with us in the dressing room, explaining what was he thought how we would play it. To start with, he said, we've got to get through 65 overs, which means extremely accurate bowling. But I want the ball pitched up so then I can set fields, because there are only certain areas, if you pitch it up straight, the batsman can bowl. So, and he said, they're going to be long days. We've got to work at our fielding. That's going to be important. But he said, I want you to be excited about this new competition. He used that word more than once. He said, and we've got a well-balanced side, so we should do quite well. So we all thought about it and thought, well, this could mean some exciting cricket for us. But we wondered about trying to get through 165, what's 130 overs in a day? Mm. 130 overs in a day.
They can't manage 90 today, can they, Les?
They can't, no. And we got off to good starts right the way through. We had our first game was against...
Kent at Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah. And I can remember, looking back, my memory's improved a little bit now, Ken Suttle getting a wonderful 100 in that game. And then we upset Colin Cowdery and particularly Peter Richardson, because we Ted set extremely defensive field. We had men on not quite all of them, but on the boundaries. Never heard of. Right from the word go. And Peter Richardson just blocked out 100. He said, I can't play in this sort of cricket. If you're going to play it that way, it doesn't mean anything to us. So there was a little bit of controversy in that first game. But Ted worked out that to bowl tight to defensive fields was the way forward, and to have a depth of batting, which we had. We had a depth of batting, and we batted consistently well throughout those matches that led up to the actual final itself.
Dexter was way ahead of his time, wasn't he?
Yes.
First of all, this idea of it's going to be exciting.
Yes, yes.
And he got you all motivated to want to play.
Yes.
And then secondly, the tactics.
Yes.
The idea of bowling full so that they could only hit the ball into certain places and you've had fielders there.
Yeah.
And the idea that you had a lot of hard-hitting batsmen and that they would score the runs.
Yes.
Yeah. Brilliant.
We did have batters who obviously could play a lot of shots. But in those days, we played it not quite the same as a county match. But you didn't look to hit one from outside from off stump over mid-wicket into what we call the cowshed or the counter ground.
Right.
We tried to play good shots all the time, sensible shots. We didn't try to, the word improvise, which is used a lot now, come into the game in those early matches. We weren't improvising, we were just looking to run their singles, look to be positive all the time without doing silly things.
No, but we've got to remember, Les, this is 60 years ago.
Yes.
And you were innovating of the time.
Yes, yes.
And it wasn't I saw your grandson Archie playing a game the other day at Horsham, and he reverse swept his first ball for four. You wouldn't have been doing that in 1963. But you didn't need to either. The things you did need to do were the things that Ted got you doing.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And we weren't throwing sound basic technique out the window either.
No.
You've got a half one, you drove it hopefully past mid off.
Yeah.
You've got a half on your leg stump, hopefully you drove it past mid on.
Yeah.
I think they were two of the first criticisms of the Gillette Cup was one, there was no incentive to use slow bowlers until the final, of course, and also the placing of fielders around the boundary edge. But interestingly, now we start a T20 with a slow bowler sometimes.
Yeah, we do. And also, that's why the fielding restrictions have been brought in over time, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
The
fielding
restrictions. But Ted would have worked all of that out if they'd been in place.
Yes.
And he'd have worked out how to best deploy the fielders.
Yeah, I've heard that criticism about the early days not encouraging spin bowling, everybody's seamers. But it was interesting in the final... Oakie had bowled quite well during the course of the season. I think he got 50 wickets in the championship. I can remember that. So it wasn't... suddenly, the ball was thrown to Oakie and it was almost the first time we'd used him in any of the matches.
Right.
I've got the Wisden here.
Oh, yes.
And you're absolutely spot on.
Am I?
Do you know top of the bowling averages for Sussex in 1963 County Championship?
I can't remember.
Alan Oakman.
Was it?
51 wickets at an average of 17.
That's interesting.
Second was Ian Thompson, who was the only man to take 100 wickets that season. He got 104 wickets at 19. But you're absolutely right that Oakman had a good year with the bowling off spin that year.
I've got that bit. My memory's improving a little bit. Brilliant. Yes.
Just going back to that first game against Kent, which I think was at Canterbury, Sussex won by 72 runs. Peter Richardson, who you mentioned, Les, got 127. I think he got the Man of the Match award, which in itself we'll come on to in a minute because that was something unique. And he also, for that Man of the Match award, he was given a £50 cheque.
I didn't know about the 15. Now, I can't remember who got the Man of the Match. I can't. No, we're talking about 60 years ago. All I have mentioned is that he was very upset of our tactics, and he blocked his way almost to 100.
Right.
And we won quite comfortably.
Yes. And you scored 29, Les, in that match.
Yeah, I went in and managed to get 29 quite quickly.
Yeah, so. Having got round through the first round, we moved on to play Yorkshire at Hove.
Pat,
do you remember?
Oh, the ground was absolutely packed. And I think we... what's our maximum we can... Because we haven't seen them.
You're brilliant, because the first line of the Wisden report that I've got in my hand here says, a crowd of 15,000... 15,000. The capacity of the ground today is about 6,000. And in 1963, on the 12th of June, which is almost exactly, isn't it, 60 years ago, it's almost today, you had a crowd of 15,000 who sat through an exciting game until 7:45 to see the home game deservedly through triumph with 9 balls of the 65 left. So in that game, just to remind you, Sussex batted first and scored 292. Jim got the top score, 90. You came in at number 6 and 35, a quick 35, I imagine. Yes. 292. Their bowlers included Truman, 14 overs for 40 runs, and Brian Close got 4 for 60. And then they batted and were all out for 270. And I remember one thing that I think Ian Thompson told me. Jeff Boycott, who had been a young Jeff Boycott at the time, batted at 6. He was 71 not out.
He wasn't not out.
He was 71 not out. Yeah, exactly.
He wanted to keep the bowling. And, Ian Thompson was down at third man.
Really good, yeah.
I can remember this.
Yeah.
Ian Thompson was down, and he cut one down to third man. He wanted to keep the bowling, so he said yes. He forgot that Ian Thompson had a good throw arm. He threw it in like a rocket over the top of the stumps, run out, Boycott, and that won us the game. That one throw third man won us the game.
So here in Wisden, G. Boycott ran out 71, and what you've told us is that story about Ian Thompson, and it was Thompson that effected the throw that ran him out.
Interesting. You mentioned earlier on talking about how long the games would be. I think in that Wisden, John, it states that the game finished at 7:45 in the evening, which no floodlights in those days.
No.
And I believe that Truman was criticised because I don't think he took any wickets.
He didn't.
14 overs, one maiden, 0 for 40.
That's right.
And yet the weather forecast that day is described in Wisden, I think, as waves of sea mist sweeping across the ground.
It does say that as well. The match was played with waves of sea mist all day.
Yes.
So 292 was a lot of runs.
A lot of sea mist in those days. Yeah. They're not around these days. They don't happen now, but they certainly did in those days. Fairly regularly.
You wouldn't have expected Truman not to have taken a wicket, would you, with the sea mist around?
No.
So we moved on. You scored your 35 and the match was won. Parks got the Man of the Match for his 90 and 4 catches. And I think then you had the semi-final, an away fixture at Northampton.
Yes, Northampton. I can, yeah, and it's a little bits I can remember about that because I think we batted first.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm trying to recap now. We batted first and we made a really good score because Ted, I can remember his innings, he got 100.
He did. You're brilliant, Les. Well, Ted got 115. The other remarkable thing is the Sussex score was 292, which is exactly the same score as they made in the you made in the game against Yorkshire. I've got the advantage of having the book in front of me.
Did we all get runs?
Yeah, you did. Well, Ted, there were some early losses. So Langridge 16, Oakman got a duck, bowled Larter, Kenny got 19, and then Parks and Dexter had a big partnership. They put on 160.
Yes, yeah.
Jim got 71, and then you came in that game at number six and got 41. So you again got runs. That took the score to 292. And then you won very comfortably.
Yes, we did.
Larter, in fact, took a hat-trick to end the innings, apparently. He took the wickets of Cooper, Pountain and Buss. And the game finished at 8 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
I caught the last batsman out at long on. Caught it long on. Straight right. To me. I didn't have to run, so it wasn't that difficult to catch.
See that in Wisden. Who was the batter?
Might have been Larter.
It was Larter. Hey, JDF Larter, Bowles Thompson too.
Right. My memory is not that bad now.
Yeah,
anyway, this is a nice part of the story. Yeah. I caught the ball, put it in my pocket.
Have you still got it?
Took it off the field. Now, in your bag, we all had decent cricket balls in our bags for practice.
Yeah.
The umpire came into the dressing room and said, "Oh, Les, can I have the ball?" And I took a ball out of my bag, which was very similar to the one we've been playing, handed him, he didn't even look at it, put it in his pocket, walked out, and I kept that ball. And somebody asked me, what happened to it? And I don't know what happened to it, but I had it for some years.
Brilliant, well done.
Yeah, yeah,
what
I kept that
story.
Match ball.
So that was the semi-final on July the 10th, and then you had to wait another 2 months for the final, September the 7th at Lord's. And I'll read the first line here. The weather, cloudy, cold and cloudy with periods of light rain, in no way doused the spirits of 25,000 spectators.
That was a packed ground because you couldn't get any more into Lord's at that stage. Obviously now it's grown to be able to support 30,000, I believe, now.
Yeah, and I think, I'm not sure if it's in Wisden, John, but the pitch apparently was invaded at the end in a very non-invasive way.
It doesn't say that. It says that amid tremendous excitement, because it was a very low-scoring game,
yes,
Les. What are your memories of that?
Well, it was a low-scoring game in that the weather had been appalling up to the game taking place.
Yeah.
And on the day of the match, we were confronted, as we got to the ground, with cloud, no drizzle in the air, but it was darkish.
Yeah.
Light was poor, but the pitch was a slow turning pitch and it hadn't rolled out that well. So as we know, as it turned out, the spin boards came into it. We struggled as a batting side because we all like to play a few shots, and it was really hard work batting out there. Do you want me to talk about
the
innings?
Great, yeah.
I can remember now Alan Oakman and Richard Langridge getting off to a pretty good start.
They did, yeah.
Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, definitely.
And we thought, oh, that's a good start, because they hadn't set the world on fire, but they worked hard and batted well against a ball was doing a little bit all the time.
And Jack Flavel, who was a top performer,
a quick bowler,
one
of the great bowlers. Yeah. Ted went in, I think, at three after we'd lost our first wicket, and he couldn't get going.
No.
By then, I think he might have got out to, I don't know how he got out, but he only got three. I remember him getting three.
That's exactly right. He got three.
Did he?
Broadbent bowled Horton.
Oh, he got out to the off-spinner. Yeah. Brought. I think Jim Parker went in four.
Yeah, that's right. Well, actually, Kenny batted three.
Oh, did he?
Ted came in four.
Oh, did he?
And then Jim
I
came
got that.
In at five.
Sorry, I got that
There's
wrong.
An amusing typo in Wisden, which I've just spotted. It says J.H. Parks, which was Jim's dad.
Yes.
They got it wrong. Maybe we should tell them 60 years later that they got that wrong.
Kenny came in at five.
Yeah.
So Jim came in at five.
Yeah.
And he was always a great player of spin bowling. By now, Gifford and Slade were turning it. We were always struggling to... Jimmy played some great shots, but he didn't get a lot of support. I went in and I got one that pitched and turned from Gifford and nicked it to slip.
Onto the wicketkeeper, I think. Ray Booth.
I got caught behind it. Oh, yeah, I nicked it to the keeper. Then Cook came in. He didn't get any.
He got a duck. LBW
slow. So we were struggling as a side. We were bowled out. Now we are talking about. I can't remember how many we made.
168.
Was it 168? Yeah. Which was a gettable score, even though the pitch was not great. It was a gettable score. But Ted had a chat to us all in the dressing room and said, "Well, look."
What did he say? What did Ted say?
Yeah, he said, "Right." We haven't done particularly well, but we've got to take into consideration it wasn't a 250 pitch, he said. Mm. I would have felt if we got 170, 180, nearly 200, we would have. But we're below par, so it means that we've got to make certain we back air bowlers up. This is the same sort of chat he had previously when we first discussed the Gillette. It was a similar conversation we had. And we're dive about in the field, and we can only do our very best. And so off we went, and we did bowl accurately. We backed up the bowlers with pretty good fielding. There was one or two good catches caught. But I got to the stage where we were winning it, but then... it was the wicketkeeper, Roy Booth, came in.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, you are. You're exactly right. So they had a strong... They had mainly test batters in their lineup. So Kenyon, LBW, bowled bus 1.
Yes.
Horton, caught and bowled bus 26. Ron Headley, caught snowball Bates 25. The great Tom Graveney.
Yes.
Caught Dexter bowled Oakman 29. Dick Richardson, another test batsman, caught Parks bowled Thompson 3. Broadbent caught Bates bowled Snow 13. And then in at number 7, the wicketkeeper, Roy Booth.
Mm-hmm.
He got 33 not out. And he looked like he might be taking the game away.
Lost Worcestershire the match, in my opinion, was the fact that Ted, in his wisdom, suddenly said to Oakey, I want you to come and bowl. And the ball was turning, good height, and he bowled so accurately to Ron Headley and Tom Graveney. Now, Tom was a good player, good onside player, but they both battled it up against Oakey, bowled it tight, and then Tom got out to an uncharacteristic shot, had a big hit at Oakey, and it went straight up towards long offish, and Ted Dexter ran. I was close by. I was like, "Well, I'm going to try and catch this," but he shouted, "Mine!" which I was pleased about, and he caught it. Tom walked off, and getting Tom out, and I think Headley got out a little bit after that, but they grafted away and got them behind a bit.
Yeah.
But then,
brilliant because Oakman's bowling figures, just to remind
what were they? What were they?
13 overs, 4 maidens in a one day into a match. 13 overs, 4 maidens, 1 for 17.
That's brilliant because Oakey, in his after dinner speeches when he'd finished cricket, he always said to part of his story about the Gillette Cups, and he said, "I should have got the man of the match."
He probably should.
For my 1 for 17. Was it 17 he went
for? Yeah, 1 for 17.
Boothie started to play quite well, and they were getting closer and closer. And Bob Carter, who I knew quite well because he became a national coach with me, couldn't bat really, but he blocked it out, and Boothie was getting singles and that. So we began to struggle a bit. And then Boothie played the ball out to off his leg, so it would have gone to deep mid-wicket where Kenny Suttle was fielding, because we had all the men back then. I mean, on the boundary, they were all back.
Yeah.
And Boothie said yes for the two, so he was running to the keeper's end. But Kenny, fortunately, threw it to the bowler's end. And Bob Carter was run out by 2 or 3 yards because he went straight over to, I can't remember who the bowler was. But he
could be Snow. Snow was bowling at the end. He got a couple of wickets. He got 3 for 13, John.
That
last wicket stand went from 133 for 9 to 154 all out.
They were closing in on the score.
They were, yeah. And apparently, the comment is made that it was getting darker and wetter, and indeed, Sussex should appeal against the light because the bowlers could not see the stumps.
No, that's an exaggeration, I must say. But the light wasn't great, and Snowy bowled quick at the tail.
Right.
But it was raining, wasn't it, Les?
I can't remember it raining in the first game. Oh, wait a minute.
Heavy drizzle?
Yes, it was. It was heavy, yes, heavy drizzle, because I think I mentioned earlier that we were wet through.
Yeah.
But you've also mentioned the support. Sussex support was fantastic. Thousands travelled up to Lord's that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we won, they all came on the field. They were very sensible not to go onto the square, but they came onto the field, and the presentation in those days was not done from a balcony. It was... The Gillette Cup was presented to Ted Dexter with the crowd around and with us alongside. And he did the normal arms up with the Gillette Cup, and we all walked up and got our medals. And I've got two on the table over there, haven't I? My two medals from that game and the year with the same side, apart from Oakey, who was 12th man on... in the second game, and Mike Griffiths was brought into the side. Oakey'd had a bit of a bad time. So the same side virtually played the second.
And how did you celebrate that evening, Les?
Well, we went back to the hotel, having had a couple of drinks at the ground, with the opposition.
Yeah, yeah.
They came into our dressing room. It was really nice.
Yeah.
And we had 2 or 3 beers together, and then the Sussex side drove back to the Westmorland where we were staying, and Ted had I must say somebody had phoned ahead, and we had a long big table, and we all sat round the table with and Ted was treating us to drinks all evening.
Brilliant.
Yes.